Forget everything you had planned for this weekend because you are sitting on your couch and winning from the comfort of your own home. I'm here with SpinQuest, where you can play hundreds of slot games, all of the table games you love, and you could even win real cash prizes. New users, $30 coin packs are on sale for $10 at SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
It's almost Election Day, Central Ohio, and your voice matters. On Tuesday, November 4th, COTA is making it easier to get to the polls with free rides all day long on all services. No fare, no hassle. Just hop on board on Tuesday, November 4th for an easy way to cast your vote. Whether you're taking the bus, COTA Mainstream, or COTA Plus, your ride is on us. Let's roll to the polls together. Plan your trip on the transit app or at COTA.com.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Is joint pain keeping you down? It's time to bounce back with the help of Ouzu CBD Plus. That's YUZUCBDPlus.com. Featuring gummies, delicious chocolates, capsules, and lotions, Ouzu CBD Plus is your number one choice for all natural pain relief. Tired of side effects from prescription pills? Take pain management into your own hands the natural way. Use the promo code BLESSING for 10% off your first order and free shipping on orders of $100 or more. Plus product for pets too. Visit OuzuCBDPlus.com today.
Sports Today here on Sports Grid, and happy Tuesday to you. Hope you enjoyed the NCAA tournament's first and second round. We're here to break that down today, talk a little baseball, some fantasy baseball, and wrapping up the season of fantasy drafts. Craig Mish, Davis Maddock with you here on the show. We'll bring in Brett Levy, of course, for a recap of the NBA as well. So, Davis, how was it for you? 4 days of college basketball madness. I know that you were here Friday and Monday doing 8 hours, some huge upsets, I know, in this NCAA tournament. So I'm guessing the madness was a lot of fun.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun. Had a really good gambling day on Friday with Keith and Blewett. Then on Monday, it was brutal. I was on Oklahoma against Gonzaga. It was not nearly as good on Monday as it was on Friday. And my guy, Cade Cunningham, Oklahoma State, really let me down in all of our bracket competitions. That was kind of my angle. I had Illinois losing to Loyola Chicago, but then I had Loyola Chicago losing to Oklahoma State. So we got half of the way there on the sleeper side of the bracket.
All right. That's the important thing. We're going to look at the odds, by the way, for the upcoming games this weekend. But first, let's look at our headlines here on the show today. The tournament's down to the final 16. I would say three or four teams you would have had no clue picking these teams into the Sweet 16. If you did, congratulations to you in your bracket or your betting. Elgin Baylor passed away yesterday, one of the great all-time players in the NBA. Wanted to make sure we mentioned that today here on the show. Unfortunately, for those of you who already drafted in your fantasy league, Zach Gallen is going to be out a little bit with forearm soreness. We're not entirely sure what this is. It looked like he got hurt at batting, and he'll talk about that. We'll hear that later on in the show. Kind of a very strange injury nonetheless. Unfortunately for the Jays, Kirby Yates doesn't look like he's part of the closing equation for at least for 6 weeks. Davis and I will discuss who could potentially get some saves there. And yes, the Houston Rockets, the winning streak has begun. One game, Davis, in a row. That's all they were asking for. I know their coach was real emotional about this last week and all the losing. That's got to take its toll. But it's over. It's done. We do not have to point that out each and every day here on the show.
They almost went on a two-game winning streak. They had a game against Oklahoma City last week. John Wall was driving for the game-winning layup, would have iced it and put it away. They were down one. John Wall, open lane, gets up, is about 6 inches away from the rim. And apparently no one told my guy, Lou Dort, that the Thunder are trying to lose games so they can enter into the Cade Cunningham sweepstakes, because Dort just put a massive block on John Wall at the rim. I mean, one of the coolest chase down blocks you will ever see. So the Rockets playing a little bit better. You know, they got your guy, Christian Wood, Mr. PSA 10, Christian Finally. Wood back on the roster. They got John Wall, Oladipo playing, and then getting good Kevin Porter Jr. minutes off the bench. I mean, they can score now a little bit with Christian Wood back in the lineup, but overall, I mean, happy for them to get the win, but they have been brutal.
Yeah, it's been a rough year for them. Now let's look at the lines coming up this weekend in the NCAA tournament. And these are the Saturday games, Davis. These are courtesy of the FanDuel Sportsbook. One of the big Cinderella stories thus far, Loyola Chicago -6.5 against Oregon State. We also have Baylor, pretty significant favorites over Illinois. No doubt, maybe the biggest favorite outside of Gonzaga is going to be Arkansas against Oral Roberts. And look here, I mean, Brett Syracuse Orangeman, a dog again against the Houston Cougars. I got to tell you, that 6 points is going to be tempting going into the weekend based on the way that Syracuse plays. It's like, you don't think Syracuse is going to win the championship, but I mean, the way they play defense and play that zone, I think that they have a shot to move on. And Oral Roberts is going to be one that everyone will be watching for sure. A lot of jokes on Oral Roberts I saw on social media this weekend.
Yeah, I mean, look, how are you going to bet against Buddy Curry right now? I mean, Buddy Boeheim is shooting like 55% from three right now, just draining these open looks. I know that Brett's got to be very happy about that. I definitely was not on the Syracuse train to begin the tournament. The team I really like sitting there, I mean, Loyola Chicago, I don't think there's really anything standing in the way right now of Loyola Chicago making a Final Four run. It does seem like kind of a mistake the way the tournament was seeded. I mean, Loyola Chicago was a 9 seed and they are the 9th ranked team on KenPom. And then Alabama, the other team, I mean, They are so tough defensively to break down. So if they play decent on offense, if they just have a good offensive outing, they are so tough to beat because they kind of play that Warriors death lineup style defense where they have a bunch of dudes who are 6'8", 6'10", long arms. They just swarm on defense. They're a very tough team to beat, I think.
And here are the Sunday lines. We have Creighton taking on the Zags. They're -13.5. Florida State, Michigan is going to be a good one, I have a feeling. Michigan's -3 in that one. Pac-12 has done very well in this tournament, and one of the teams is going home after the weekend. Oregon will take on USC, and as Davis mentioned, no reason right now to fade Alabama. They're playing as good or better than any team in the tournament, and they're -5.5 against UCLA. Our coverage will continue all week long. We'll be talking about it, previewing the games right here on Fantasy Sports Today on Sports Grid, and our coverage continues live with our in-game live shows this Saturday and Sunday. And of course, the tournament games are next week as well as 1 week away almost from opening day in Major League Baseball. So plenty to get to. On top of that, we have our fantasy standouts in the NBA, and that is coming up next. Huge games last night, specifically Karl Anthony Towns kind of has, I think, turned the light switch on or something, because this guy has been going crazy over the last couple of weeks. We'll talk about him. Also, the game that De'Aaron Fox had as well. Don Mattingly, the manager of the Miami Marlins, will join us as well in the second hour of our show to talk about his team going into the 2021 campaign. Craig Mish, Davis Maddock, we're back with more fantasy sports today here on Sports Grid in just 2 minutes. So stay with us. We'll be right back.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid.
Forget everything you had planned for this weekend because you are sitting on your couch and winning from the comfort of your own home. I'm here with SpinQuest, where you can play hundreds of slot games, all of the table games you love, and you could even win real cash prizes. New users, $30 coin packs are on sale for $10 at SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
It's almost Election Day, Central Ohio, and your voice matters.
On Tuesday, November 4th, COTA is making it easier to get to the polls with free rides all day long on all services. No fare, no hassle. Just hop on board on Tuesday, November 4th for an easy way to cast your vote. Whether you're taking the bus, COTA Mainstream, or COTA Plus, your ride is on us. Let's roll to the polls together. Plan your trip on the transit app or at COTA.com.
SportsGrid.com.
Take a look at our fantasy standouts from Monday night in the NBA. For those of you who are playing over on the DFS side of FanDuel, you'll probably be interested to know that there were some huge performances last night. We'll bring in our producer, Brett Levy, along with Davis Maddock. I'm Craig Mish with you here on the show. Don Mattingly joins us in about an hour from now. NBA fantasy standouts, here we go. De'Aaron Fox and the Sacramento Kings pull off a very rare road win last night. 30 points, 6 rebounds, 6 assists, and 2 steals. Rashawn Holmes, 17 points, 16 rebounds, 3 assists, 1 steal, and 2 blocks. Another big game for SGA, 31 points, 3 rebounds, 4 assists, 1 steal, 2 blocks. Karl-Anthony Towns, 33 points, 10 rebounds, 1 assist, 2 steals, and 1 block. And then Gordon Hayward had 27 points, 7 rebounds, 6 assists, and 1 block. Let's bring in our producer, Brett Levy, along with Davis Maddock. And Karl-Anthony Towns seems to have certainly stepped it up over the last couple of weeks, Brett. He's been usable again on the DFS side over on FanDuel, and I believe that's 50 fantasy points last night for him. So solid performance.
Yeah, he's been playing pretty well. I think this was a good matchup for him. Oklahoma City, since trading Steven Adams, lacks a little at their big spot, so it was nice to see him dominate a matchup that you'd anticipate him playing well in. But I think the big change has been since Chris Finch has come in to Minnesota, we've seen Anthony Edwards been playing a lot quicker. He's been the focal point of the offense as well. So having another guy that's been able to put the ball in the hoop in for Minnesota has freed up some space for Karl-Anthony Towns. And hopefully those two can keep it rolling for the future of that Minnesota Timberwolves franchise.
Yeah, no doubt. And look, they named Finch the head coach almost immediately when they fired their previous one. So this should come as no surprise that they're playing completely different. It's probably something they wanted to do. Davis, SGA, another big game for him. It seems like he's on our fantasy standouts at least 2 or 3 times a week. And still, to me, one of the more underrated players in the NBA. I know that there's a lot more awareness of him going into this year, but still, for me, flies under the radar.
I mean, he flies under the radar because Oklahoma City is not in the playoff race. I mean, they're resting Al Horford every other game. They're inventing phantom injuries for Lu Dort, right? They're giving minutes to undrafted free agents like Theo Maledon. I mean, they're doing everything they can to lose these games, but it's pretty much setting up for the Thunder to do something very similar to what the Celtics did after the Brooklyn Nets trade, where they were bad for a little bit, but then they started to accumulate that young core and just, you know, ripped off. I mean, the Celtics are super competitive now and still have draft picks to spend. And Shea is, you know, I mean, he's my favorite player, and I'm really looking forward to seeing him continue to grow.
Yeah, I think I saw Oklahoma City has something like 30 draft picks over the next 7 years or something insane. So they're definitely building for the future, no doubt. All right, our other fantasy standouts in the NBA, the Utah Jazz with another win, of course, yesterday. Rudy Gobert, 21-10, 2 assists and 9 blocks. Donovan Mitchell, 30 points, 6 assists, 6 rebounds, 1 steal. John Wall had himself a triple-double. Jrue Holiday, 28 points, 5 rebounds, 14 assists, 2 steals and 1 block. And then Jaylen Brown had 27 points, 9 rebounds, 5 assists, 1 steal, 1 block. Davis, before we go to Brett here, I want to go back to the Utah Jazz. And I know that, Davis, you and I have been talking about this on the show all season long. Do you feel any differently now than you did 2 months ago about them as we close in on the playoffs and the trade deadline?
Well, I guess I maybe feel a little bit worse about their team than I did a month ago. But the Lakers now playing without Anthony Davis, playing without LeBron James for at least 2 or 3 weeks at this point. I feel a little bit worse about the Jazz, but it's just going to be much easier for them to coast into a solid playoff spot because the Lakers are not going to be ripping off 10-game winning streaks with, you know, Talen Horton-Tucker and Dennis Schroeder.
And Brett, before we get to Syracuse, because I do want to ask you about that, LaMelo Ball looks like he's going to miss the rest of the season. What do you think that does in terms of the rookie of the year?
Yeah, it's going to be interesting. I'd look out for Tyrese Halliburton in Sacramento. I know it's weird to kind of target a guy playing in Sacramento, but great college player at Iowa State. Was injured last year, and we saw what happened to Iowa State. He's been an impact rookie for the Kings this year. And, you know, he's been a really steady hand. So I think you're right, Craig. It is going to have a huge impact. LaMelo was kind of running away with this thing, and it's crazy. We've seen an injury, two injuries actually, with LeBron's ankle impact the MVP race. We've now seen a wrist injury impact Rookie of the Year. So injuries are always something to keep in mind when placing these long-term future bets.
Davis, who do you like right now for Rookie of the Year in the NBA? There are some people that still think LaMelo is going to win. Is there a chance of that?
Oh, LaMelo can definitely still win. I mean, I feel pretty strongly that LaMelo can still win because eventually D'Angelo Russell and Malik Beasley are going to be back for the Timberwolves. I think Beasley has 4 games left on his suspension. So when those guys get back, Anthony Edwards is going to take a step back, both in terms of minutes played and of his usage rate. And I think there's a chance. I mean, we've seen stuff like this happen with Rookie of the Year before, where a guy misses time, a guy misses a bunch of time, you know, misses the end of the season, misses the beginning of the season, and still wins the award because he was clearly the best when he was on the floor. So if I had to bet on one guy right now, it would be Edwards. But if you're holding a LaMelo ticket from earlier in the year, I don't think those tickets are dead.
Interesting. All right, Brett. So this is your moment here because we don't know how many more moments you'll have. Syracuse rolls off back-to-back upsets in the first two rounds of the NCAA tournament. Can they do it a third time this weekend?
Well, Craig, an amazing stat. Jim Boeheim has never lost a first or second round game as a double-digit seed. So just keep giving us those 10 and 11 seeds, and we'll be making a lot of Sweet 16s, I think. Davis said it earlier, Buddy Boeheim's been incredible. He's probably going to go number one right ahead of Cade Cunningham now, Davis. So hate to rub that in, but, you know, he's climbing. He won't go that high. He'll probably end up having to come back. But we're excited. It's been a great run for the Syracuse Orange. And it's still incredible to me, Craig, how Jim Boeheim's played the zone for 40 years and every year in the first round of March Madness, the team comes out and struggles in that first half against the zone. It's crazy. Like 40 years worth of tape and it doesn't matter. Nothing changes.
No, it doesn't. And Davis, it was interesting because, you know, Jim Boeheim clearly is still remarkable that he's still coaching at this level in the NCAA. We saw Rick Pitino take a huge dive down, right, over the last few years. Davis, and did you see the comments that he made? Is that if Calipari went back to the NBA and if Pitino was called by Kentucky, he wouldn't go because he would want to stay in Iona. This was the comment that he made.
He's so full of crap. There's no way. If Kentucky comes calling with their crazy budget and then the contract they would offer him, he would be leaving Iona in a heartbeat. Come on, Rick Pitino. Like, level with us. Be real, buddy.
Yeah, I saw that one, and that kind of caught me. And listen, Pitino did a great job with Iona this year, no doubt. He ran into one of the best teams in the tournament here. I mean, honestly, I think Iona would have had a shot if they didn't play against somebody not named Alabama, but they clearly didn't have any shot in that one. Davis, as far as going back to the NBA for a minute here, is there anything in particular on the radar for you over the next week or two? I know that we have the trade deadline coming up here. And here in South Florida, that's all everybody is talking about. I see DeMar DeRozan's name being thrown out there. That's one interesting name. And is John Collins, you think, going to get traded? I mean, who's like the biggest name over the next week to watch out for here?
Well, I think a guy who is almost definitely going to be traded is going to be Lonzo Ball, and I think it's going to be the Clippers. The Clippers made a very small trade last night where basically they gave up some cash in a late second-round pick to get a roster spot, and I think they're trying to create a roster spot for Lonzo Ball, which I think is a trade they should make. It seems like a good trade.
All right, well, trade deadline's coming. We'll cover it for you here, of course, on Fantasy Sports Today, but coming up next, it's our look at the 2021 Detroit Tigers and their season win total. They are all not going to win 80, 90 games, folks. This is one of those teams, but we'll break it down. Can they go over their total? We'll tell you next.
Forget whatever plans you have this weekend because you're staying at home and playing on SpinQuest. And there's never been a better time to sign up than right now. New users get $30 coin packs for just $10. All the table games you love with hundreds of slot games and real cash prizes. That's at SpinQuest.com. SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Coda salutes those who served. Veterans ride free Tuesday, November 11th. And every other day of the year, our veterans and active duty military personnel get a 50% discount on all fares. It's all part of Coda's ongoing commitment to show appreciation for your selfless service. To ride at no cost on fixed routes, tell your bus operator that you're a veteran or use code VET2025 in the app to use Coda Plus. Veterans ride free on Tuesday, November 11th for Veterans Day. Veterans get a 50% discount every day on Coda. Plan your ride and learn more at coda.com/trip planner.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Major League Baseball season starts in a little bit over a week, and the FanDuel Sportsbook has each and every season win total posted now. So those of you who have watched our show throughout the season, you can go back and watch on demand because Davis and I have given you opinions on every single win total in both the American League and National League. And just go to our YouTube channel and you can watch us predict every single one of them. Some we have picks, some we have leans, some we pass on. Now, Davis, the issue at hand is that we still have some pretty good teams to go. We haven't done the Rays yet. We haven't done the Dodgers yet. We haven't done the Padres. And Mike Blewett will be in for me tomorrow. You guys will do the New York Yankees. So today we're kind of left with the Detroit Tigers. And truthfully, Davis, I like where they're headed. It seems like this organization is building around young pitching. And I think we could see three of them in the big leagues this season. But it feels like for the last few years, it's been a lot of patchwork on the offense with not a lot of young players on the way outside of Spencer Torkelson. So maybe the Tigers in a couple of years will build and sign free agents. At least they've been active on the one-year front, like they keep just adding guys for one-year deals. But simply put, it's still a work in progress is the way I would describe it with Detroit. Their total is 67.5 after finishing in last place last year.
Yeah, and like you said, the cavalry is not coming. There are not there's not a huge wave of prospects that are set to come up for the Detroit Tigers. They do have, I guess that's not entirely fair. They do have a lot of pitching prospects relative to what you would expect from their organization. Mm-hmm. So they have Mize, they have Manning, they have Skubal, they have Riley Green, who is a highly graded outfielder, but he's down, he's down in high A ball. Not a guy. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Like, we're not anticipating him to be ready to go right now. And I guess you could charitably say that Willie Castro is a prospect. He's on their major league roster now. He's hitting third for them. So he's not a prospect anymore. He is a part of their, he is a part of their lineup. And then Isaac Paredes is, No one's, if he was in the Yankee system, we wouldn't know his name. He would never project for everyday at bats because the Tigers have these massive holes. It looks like Paredes is probably going to be on their roster to start the year. And I imagine that he will start to take at bats away from Candelario and from Nunez throughout the course of the year. Torkelson is the guy who you can pin your hopes on. I mean, if Torkelson is amazing right away, right? He's Mike Trout reincarnated, and Mize and Skubal are good. Well, then I guess you can start to talk yourself into it. But these are guys they're giving everyday at-bats to right now. Robbie Grossman, career journeyman, been on a bunch of different teams, had a power spike last year. I don't really buy it. Miguel Cabrera, I mean, basically it is the Tigers version of Albert Pujols, to the point where you're not expecting positive contributions from him. Nomar Mazara, you know, was the worst hitter in baseball the last time he got a full complement of plate appearances. And then, you know, non-roster invitee guys like Nunez, like Victor Reyes. I mean, just these, you know, total, like, we're not even really that, like, in the Raz Slam, Victor Reyes went undrafted as a switch hitting outfielder. Like, that does not happen all that often for a guy slated for 400 plate appearances in a 42 round draft. So yeah, it's pretty bleak up there in Detroit, Michigan.
Yeah, I think they're going about it the right way, building on the pitching. Riley Green, it could be a debut in 2022. I think Torkelson could be a debut in 2022. But you got to field nine guys on a Major League Baseball team, and I don't see one name outside of Castro in this lineup that I would almost guarantee will be on the team in 2022. Grossman leading off. Candelario's on his last shot here, I would say. I do like Castro, and the Tigers like Castro. I know that, so circle him. Miggy Cabrera's a Hall of Famer toward the end. Scope, another one-year deal. They'll move him in July for sure. Mazara, if he shows anything, they'll move him in July. Wilson Ramos, they'll move him in July. Renato Nunez is a power. I mean, this guy can hit 30 home runs, but they're going to move him if they can.
Yeah.
And Jacoby Jones had a million shots, and I would never draft him in fantasy. Now, the pitching, as you mentioned, is a little bit more interesting. Matthew Boyd has a chance to be a special pitcher, but we've been saying that for a while. I know Jose Ureña very well. He'll pitch a lot of innings, hit a lot of guys, and not be very good. Tarik Skubal's got a shot to be in the rotation to start, as you can see. Manning and Mize are coming. Tehran, you don't want. Fulmer has been a huge disappointment. Gregory Soto, I don't know a ton about him, but I know he's their closer. When Spencer Turnbull is healthy, he's going to pitch and maybe pitch well. I know he has COVID right now. So when you look at their total, Davis, look, it's 67.5. You know that you're going to be a little bit jaded because you're going to think that the Royals are probably going to be a lot better than most. So that's kind of the issue at the end here. And I understand that, and I think that's fine. And I do think the Tigers could certainly, you know, finish somewhere in the 70-win range. I've talked about this a ton of times here on the show. I think the Tigers on paper are better than Texas. You know, and Texas has more or less the same win total here. I see some major league players on this team. I just don't like to get involved with win totals in the 60s because there's just too much variance. And think about it. If Torkelson lights the world on fire in his minor league month or two that he plays, they decide to call him up. Let's say Mize comes up. Let's say Manning comes up. Like, they have some decent reinforcements that I could see them using to get to 70 wins. So for me, Davis, it would just be a lean on the under. I'm not certain the Tigers lose another 100 games because, again, you get to September, they're sitting on 63 wins. Who's to say that they don't have a 500 September, even with some of these players that they have? So I would just lean on the under, but Cleveland's going to be worse. Kansas City, they'll probably be better, but how much better, I'm not sure. I think the White Sox total is inflated. You're just throwing everything in a bucket and thinking that they're going to win 100 games usually doesn't happen in baseball. I can see the Tigers winning 68, 69. I'm going to lean under and nothing else.
So this is how they get there. This is how they would beat their total. Skubal's good. Mize is good. So every, you know, two out of every 5 days, you have a guy who pitches above the expectation that the market has. Then the other thing would be Boyd recapturing some of the magic that he had, not for all of, but for part of the 2019 season. You look at his ERA and it was not great. But through parts of that season, he's always struggled with home runs because he's, you know, kind of a soft tossing lefty, but he really figured out some interesting strikeout stuff in that 2019 season, you know, got up to a 30.2% K rate. Then you start talking to yourself, okay, Willy Castro really hits, right? Just hits the ground running, is already hitting like the guy that we expected him to in the minors. Nomar Mazara recaptures it a little bit. Jonathan Scope hits 32 home runs. Victor Reyes replaces Jacoby Jones and hits like a league average player. It all rests on young players performing above their expectations. And then you start getting into like a, okay, well, I'm correlating all these parlays of young players outplaying their expectations. And then you realize that it's still not going to be enough for them to compete. So they're going to sell whatever is not tied down, right? Scope, gone. Sure. Boyd, yeah, gone. Absolutely. All these guys are gone. Mm-hmm. So I would definitely not bet the over, especially because of what you mentioned. I think, you know, the Royals are going to be better than the market expects. And I think the White Sox are going to be really good. I also think that the Twins are a little bit better than the market expects. When we did their over-under, I took the over on the Twins. So I actually think you could bet this under and feel good about it, because if they're winning, it's not going to be enough. And the fact that they would be winning is actually going to generate attention to the players they'd want to sell, right? Boyd, Scope, Grossman, Ramos, those guys would be gone for anything, for cash considerations, for a player to be named later. They would be shipped out of town, and then it'd be, you know, total replacement level guys coming in.
Yeah, no, it's easy to look at it that way. I just think that it's dangerous for me in the sense that if I see replacements on the pitching side, which is what I see here with Detroit, I'm a little bit wary of that because I don't know how good they're going to be. There's certainly a chance that my Scooble and Manning are all not good. There's that chance, but they're not hinging their future. I mean, look, Riley Green and Torkelson are going to be the future of their offense for sure. But they're way more excited about those pitchers that I just mentioned. They think that they've already debuted a little bit. They're hoping to have them this season. And if it's true, what normally happens is the first year for a lot of these rookies doesn't work out very well, and then the second year is when they kind of come on a little bit. I could see these guys pitching well in August and September. And again, who knows what – look, Kansas City could be better. Cleveland could be better. But they could be out of it in September, and then the games don't matter as much, and then that favors Detroit a little bit too. And I don't like their team, and I don't think they're winning 80 games. But it wouldn't shock me to see them go 70 and 92. That's still 22 games under 500, but I'm going to lean under for the sake of it. But what the Tigers need to do, and they need to do pretty quickly, is identify through the draft and through international free agency, Davis, some offensive players. Because I saw this happen with Miami, and now Miami has a ton of offensive prospects that they're not really sure about. We know they have the pitching. They don't have the hitting. If Detroit plans on competing next year, I don't know if they will, but if they're planning on competing in 22, there's got to be a massive overhaul with the offense. They need guys coming fast. Young players, AAA, AA, international free agent. I don't see anything outside of Torkelson and Green. Like, nothing.
Yeah, so, I mean, they got to get Torkelson up. They got to get Green up in the next year. They got to get rid of Miguel Cabrera, Nico Goodrum every day, plate appearances to figure out if they want him or not. Like, I think the fact that they are playing Nunez over him is bad. I also think, you know, playing even Jaime Candelario over him is bad, because Candelario is nothing, and Nico might be good. He could be good.
Yeah, Nunez hit 30 home runs 2 years ago with the Orioles and was their top offensive player last year. And that was not good enough for the Orioles. They let him go in the offseason. All right, a couple of drafts we're going to talk about. My draft in the National League Tout Wars and Davis's NFBC this weekend. So I want to get to those here on the show. Also, we'll hear from the manager of the Marlins, Don Mattingly, who joins us in less than an hour from now. More fantasy sports.
Forget everything you had planned for this weekend, because you are sitting on your couch and winning from the comfort of your own home. I'm here with SpinQuest, where you can play hundreds of slot games, all the table games you love, and you could even win real cash prizes. New users, $30 coin packs are on sale for $10 at SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
It's almost Election Day, Central Ohio, and your voice matters. On Tuesday, November 4th, COTA is making it easier to get to the polls with free rides all day long on all services. No fare, no hassle. Just hop on board on Tuesday, November 4th for an easy way to cast your vote. Whether you're taking the bus, COTA Mainstream, or COTA Plus, your ride is on us. Let's roll to the polls together. Plan your trip on the transit app or at COTA.com.
Today on Sports Grid, coming up next, don't go away.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome back to Sports Grid. This is Fantasy Sports Today. Craig Mitch, Davis Maddock. The Major League Baseball season is about a week away, and it's time now for us to take a look at one of the primary expert drafts that I was in this weekend. Now, they're no longer calling it an auction. I guess it's for politically correct reasons. I really don't understand this one because we are buying players. They've changed it to now salary cap, so that's fine. We'll call it the National League Salary Cap Tout Wars team. And Davis, it was really interesting. It lasted probably about 4 hours. It was pretty smooth. We were all in one of the Zoom rooms. Normally I'm there in person. But I got to tell you, Davis, the big difference between auctions and drafting like you do online in the snake format is just massive. It's just really hard to read the room. There are errors going on. There are mistakes being made. And not everybody, Davis, believe it or not, is really technically savvy with this. And when we saw that a couple of times in my Tout Wars salary cap draft. So we're going to take a look at it now, okay?
Let's do it.
All right, so here are we're going to go in order of the prices that I spent, and I can kind of dive in a little bit deeper why they happened and why I spent what I spent, which will probably make more sense as we go along. But here are the top five priced guys that I ended up with. Three on the Phillies. So Ronald Acuna Jr. at 42. Remember, this is an on-base percentage league, not average, which is why Bryce Harper went for 39. In a non-on-base percentage, he goes for about 34, 35. But he led the league on on-base percentage, so therefore that's important. Alec Bohm, who's going to play third base for me for the Phillies at 24. Blake Snell was my highest-priced pitcher at 21. I now have him in two leagues. And then there isn't a draft that I do that I don't at least attempt to get JT Realmuto, who's going to be playing catcher today, by the way, in the Grapefruit League. So I got him for $19, and Davis, I spent $24 on the same player last year, so I'm kind of happy that I got a $5 discount there. What are your thoughts on these five players that I acquired? National League format on base percentage is one of the categories in Roto.
So I love getting the best player, especially in an only league. I mean, having a guy who's going to contribute in all five categories, going to get everyday at-bats, you know, you're going to get 650 plate appearances minimum from Acuna if he's healthy. I love that. You know, especially Craig, you know, you're grinding the pavement. You're out there. You know the $1 players. You know who's going to be getting that playing time for you. You know who's going to be picking up those cheap saves. You know, so I definitely like the stars and scrubs in only league auctions. So I think that's very strong. I think getting Bryce Harper at a very small premium in OBP. I mean, $39 for Harper in an OBP league. He has a pretty solid chance of being a top 10 hitter anyway, right, in the second round of batting average leagues. So when you put him into an only format, you put him into an OBP format, I think he takes a big step. $21 for Snell also, I think, is pretty strong. What did you, Darvish, go for compared to what Snell went for?
He went for 24, I believe. I was in on you, Darvish, as well, like I was in on the last draft. He went for 24, and I was at 23, so I lost him, and then I went pivoted to Snell.
Yeah. And then of course I knew when you told me you were doing an NL salary cap league, I was like, oh yeah, he's getting JT Realmuto. There's heaven and earth could move, but Craig is gonna find a way to get Realmuto on his team.
Yeah. Yep. So my thinking behind Harper at $39 was, you're gonna see the next graphic here. I knew I was gonna end up with CJ Krohn. I was not gonna let this go by without getting him. And that's gonna crush my on base percentage. So I figured between Harper and Krohn, that will even itself out. You may ask why Drew Smyly at $14. Well, Alex Anthopoulos, of course, came on our show, told me to draft Drew Smyly, but in no way did I think that he would end up going for $14. The scenario here was Gray Albright, our friend from Razzball. What happened, Davis, is that Smyly was the top pitcher in terms of ADP left to auction off in the draft for a long, long, long time. And what happens in the scenario like this is you look at your team, and if you see a deficiency in pitcher, he was by far the best pitcher that was left. And Gray looked at his team and said, man, I really need another pitcher. I knew that this was the one that I had, but in an NL only, he should only be going for about $8-$9. He ended up going for $14. I had to pay the price. Without him, I essentially did not have a third starter. As you can see here, I ended up with Sandy Alcantara, who I wanted to be my second best starter. I would have paid more for him than I would have paid for Smyly. I got him for $11. Lorenzo Cain was $14, and Corey Dickerson at $10 from Miami as well. Dickerson will lead off for the Marlins. So the reason I ended up with Cain, Davis, is because I bid $20 on Brandon Nimmo, but another one of the people in the room said that he tried to bid $21 before the auction ended, and they determined that because he said he tried to, that they awarded him the $21. Now, I could have had Nimmo at $22, but that was, I just felt like that was going a little bit too much. So Kane is not Nimmo, but he's kind of Nimmo light, in my opinion. I'm going to get the OBP. I'm going to get the same steals. Where I'm going to lose out, Davis, is the plate appearances, because we know Kane, you know, Nimmo's going to be at 500. I doubt Kane will. It just, he seems to have these little nagging injuries every year. What I'm looking for is an outfielder that's not going to hurt me, steal a few bases, and have a good OBP. That's what Kane was there. And I got him at 14. Nimmo was the one I originally was going for.
Yeah, I mean, I agree with you that I would rather have Nimmo than Kane. And with Kane, it really does come down to health. Now, he was able to get 623 plate appearances in 2019, 620 in 2018, and even 645 back in 2017. I guess the concern you would have about Kane now, 34, how many bases is he going to steal at 34? And sure. The other thing you have to worry about with Kane is if Avisel Garcia is tearing the cover off the ball in his limited plate appearances, what do the Brewers do? Do they move Kane to the bench? Do they move Kane down in the order? Do they swap Jackie Bradley Jr. out? Like, who do you think plays more between Jackie Bradley Jr. and Lorenzo Kane if Avisel Garcia is tearing the cover off the ball? If you think it's JBJ that loses the plate appearances, well, then no big deal. But if Garcia takes the plate appearances away from Kane, then you're sweating a little bit.
Yeah, and look, Bradley's a great defender, and that changes the game with Kane. He used to always play center field. Now he will not. I'm looking at about 350 plate appearances from Kane. I'm prepared for that going into the season. I just didn't want anyone that was going to hurt me as my third or fourth outfielder. That's kind of where he slides in there. So those were the double-digit players that I ended up winning. Here are some of the single-digit players. I didn't go all the way down, I don't think, as far as a buck is concerned, so we can end it here. I mentioned some of the other guys that I ended up getting. Anthony Bass at $8. I'm convinced he's the closer of the Marlins. So I, you know, that was the only guy that I really got predominantly four saves. I did not want to come out of this without any closers. I've tried that in the past. Sometimes I succeed on the wire and sometimes I don't. And I just wanted to make sure I ended up with one. And I have tried the no saves in the NL Roto format. And boy, it catches up to you pretty quick. Like, you can't get out of last place. Nico Horner, I'll put him at second base for $8. Wilmer Flores, I'll play everywhere. I'm not convinced on Brandon Belt went for $17 in this one. I'm not convinced he's healthy. I want Flores at first base. Kevin Newman is going to lead off for the Pirates. He's a steals guy. I'm hoping for 10 steals. I think by now you know I would end up with Trevor Rogers. What happened with Rogers is that my max bid at the end was $6. And I waited until my second to last player, and I wanted to make sure no one else could get him. and I threw the six down. Nobody could match me, and that's how I ended up with him. And then Alex Reyes actually got bid up to $5 from the St. Louis Cardinals. But Davis, I think that he's going to have a monster season out of the bullpen, either as the swing guy or maybe even as the closer. I think a lot of strikeouts are coming for him. So that's kind of the start of the building of my bullpen, which isn't fantastic. But what do you, any of these under $10 guys that you were in on at all this fantasy season?
Yeah, I mean, Nico Horner is the perfect only league guy, right? Where even if he gets a bunch of plate appearances, you're not that excited about him in a 15-team mixed league. But he projects for a good number of at-bats for the Chicago Cubs. He was a great OBP guy in the minor leagues, like just walked like no one's business, never struck out in the minor leagues, adds a little bit of speed, probably will steal 10 bases for you over 500 plate appearances. Not going to get a ton of power from him, but he's kind of like the NL version of Madrigal, actually, where you're going to get a solid OBP, you're going to get lots of plate appearances, you're not counting on him for a ton of runs or RBIs, but there are going to be people who went for 8, 9, 10, who are going to get half the plate appearances of Nico Horner and who do not have his plate skills, right, in terms of the OBP. So I think Nico Horner, pretty underrated in NL only. And then obviously you are going to get Bass and Rogers. I mean, those are as sure as you were going to get Realmuto, you were definitely going to get Bass, you were definitely going to get Rogers. And I actually really wanted to get Alex Reyes in our NFBC main event. He ended up getting sniped off. Those ratios, I think I agree with you, they're just going to be really good.
Yeah, I think 12, 13 strikeouts per nine is coming for Alex Reyes. I think the same thing is coming for Trevor Rogers. I'm going to pick Trevor Rogers to win the Rookie of the Year in the National League. And if you watch any of my shows or podcasts previously, when it comes to the Marlins, I'm very fair and impartial. Like this is the most Marlins I've ever taken in a fantasy draft, and it's not even close. So, you know, I just kind of went with what I knew a little bit in this one. Couple of other players that I'll just mention to you that I ended up with. Darren Ruff is someone we've talked about a lot in the fantasy season. I ended up with him for $1. So, you know, no risk there. The other player that I'll tell you that I got in the reserve rounds that I'm now very interested in today that I may have ended up with a home run pick is, I don't know if you saw this today, Davis, but the Washington Nationals moved Starlin Castro to third base today. I guess Keboom is not playing well. And Luis Garcia, who's their top hitting prospect in the minors, is playing second. And if they option Keboom and play Luis Garcia at second, I don't care where he bats in the lineup. You mentioned it before. In an only league, you're just looking for plate appearances. That would completely change my team. I mean, he would steal 20 bases with 500 plate appearances. So that was a end game pick for $1. Or I'm sorry, even the reserve round. So I'm hopeful that he ends up playing. That could be a huge one for me.
Yeah, and Castro, by the way, not only will he steal bases, he's gonna give you some home runs, and he's way better in an OBP than a batting average. I mean, you know, his batting average is gonna be fairly low. He should be able to get to like a 330 on base percentage. But also the other thing about Castro is when he plays, they put him in a good lineup spot. They Keboom, they're batting him ninth, but if Castro's in there instead, they'll bat him sixth sometimes. They'll bat him second every once in a while when Soto gets a day off. I mean, Starlin Castro is always been a super underrated fantasy guy. But, I mean, 29 home runs for your Miami Marlins in 2019 with a couple stolen bases. And, I mean, that just being in that lineup is going to give him a nice floor for runs and RBIs that he, you know, wouldn't have when he was with the Marlins.
Yeah, Reyes Maranta is another one on the Washington Nationals. I'm sorry, on the San Francisco Giants that I ended up picking up very late. So we'll see. I mean, these are very difficult drafts, but that you really need a good education on what the individual leagues look like in order to make the right picks. But we'll see how things work out. I have yet to win Tout Wars in the NL. I believe this is my fourth year in this. I was in the NL three consecutive seasons. Dropped out last year because of not traveling to New York. Meanwhile, no one traveled to New York. I could have stayed in. And now I'm back this year.
I'm here with SpinQuest, where you can play and win from the comfort of your own home with hundreds of slot games and all of the table games you love with real cash prizes. Right now, $30 coin packs are on sale for $10 for new users. It's all at SpinQuest.com. That's SPINQUEST.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Coda salutes those who served. Veterans ride free Tuesday, November 11th. And every other day of the year, our veterans and active duty military personnel get a 50% discount on all fares. It's all part of Coda's ongoing commitment to show appreciation for your selfless service. To ride at no cost on fixed routes, tell your bus operator that you're a veteran or use code VET2025 in the app to use Coda Plus. Veterans ride free on Tuesday, November 11th for Veterans Day. Veterans get a 50% discount every day on Coda. Plan your ride and learn more at coda.com/trip planner
here. So appreciate having me again. We'll talk about this league throughout the season. Coming up next, it's time for us to preview the game tonight between the Lakers and Pelicans, right? It's going to be LeBron James against LaMelo Ball. This is the game we're all looking forward to. Maybe not. We'll talk about it next. Don't go away. Stay on the grid.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Sure what to compare this game in the NBA to. I suppose what we could do is say, imagine if there was a Fantasy Sports Today show and Craig Mish and Davis Maddock were both not on it, because it kind of feels like that's the game tonight between the Lakers and New Orleans Pelicans. I don't know if I'm giving us enough credit or not enough, one way or the other. Davis, the Pelicans tonight, I mean, it's shocking when you see the Pelicans 6.5-point favorites over the Lakers, and then you, of course, come to find out that LeBron is out, you know that, Anthony Davis is out too. But LaMelo Ball's not going to play either. The total is 222. I would love your wisdom here on how you handicap this game, where arguably the second-best player on the Pelicans is out, and the two best players on the Lakers are out. And the Pelicans are 6.5-point favorites nonetheless, so how do you see this one?
Yeah, I mean, I think that you would lean towards taking the Pelicans here. And it's not that the Lakers don't have guys offensively. You know, Kuzma, Talen Horton-Tucker, Dennis Schroeder, Montrezl Harrell, these guys can get buckets. But, you know, who's gonna defend Zion, right? You don't really want Marc Gasol playing 30 minutes at this point, which is what they would need. You don't really want Trez guarding Zion. So I think it's going to be very hard for the Lakers to get stops. If they are competitive in this game, I would look towards a big offensive game from Montrezl Harrell and from Dennis Schroeder. Those are the guys who are really going to have to pick up the slack. I wonder if the over in this game is the play with all these injuries, and the Lakers are just going to be trying to outscore opposing teams while LeBron and Anthony Davis are out, because that's what suits their style best. But I like the Pelicans and the over here.
Interesting. Yeah, I mean, it's always fascinating to me of the players who step up in games like this when they're out, like Zion Williamson's props, whatever they are tonight over on FanDuel. I'd have some interest there. I would imagine that he's headed for a big game. But all right, so Davis likes the over a little bit, over 222. We'll break down a game every day right here on Fantasy Sports Today on Sports Grid. Coming up next, we got Chris Kofsky with our updates, and then we have our headlines coming up at the top of the hour, perhaps a new fantasy starting running back for the Atlanta Falcons. Maybe we'll dive into that coming up next, right here on Fantasy Sports Today. We'll also hear from Diamondbacks pitcher Zach Gallen. Stay on the grid.
I'm here with SpinQuest, where you can play and win from the comfort of your own home with hundreds of slot games and all of the table games you love with real cash prizes. Right now, $30 coin packs are on sale for $10 for new users. It's all at SpinQuest.com. That's SPINQUEST.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
It's almost Election Day, Central Ohio, and your voice matters. On Tuesday, November 4th, COTA is making it easier to get to the polls with free rides all day long on all services. No fare, no hassle. Just hop on board on Tuesday, November 4th for an easy way to cast your vote. Whether you're taking the bus, COTA Mainstream, or COTA Plus, your ride is on us. Let's roll to the polls together. Plan your trip on the transit app or at COTA.com.
During the Right Rug Flooring Anniversary Sale, we're celebrating 91 years of the guaranteed lowest prices with beautiful carpet with a lifetime stain warranty starting at $219 a square foot installed with pad. And luxury vinyl starts at $399 a square foot installed. Unbeatable prices and 24-month special financing available with approved credit. Schedule a free in-home appointment with our flooring experts at RITERUG.com. Right Rug Flooring's Anniversary Sale. Right Rug.